Please stand clear of the doors.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Main Street Mechies. I am your podcast co-host slash monorail operator, Alex, here with my other co-host.
And I'm Noah, and I am just a simple passenger along for the ride. What are you doing up there, mister? You're not qualified. I didn't mean to rhyme.
Somehow it happened, and we're all happier for it.
And we're off. Welcome. Well, I was going to say, do we address the break we took?
Yeah, okay, I'll do it because it's my thing. Okay, so welcome back after, I guess it will be 2 weeks when this airs. We apologize for the sudden hiatus that we took because, let me just tell you, we didn't expect it to happen. apparently my audio got one of the happy haunts and ghouls from the Haunted Mansion and just absolutely did not want to deal with me.
Had some spooky sounds in the audio tracks that just could not be unspooked, if you will.
I was not willing to do that to your ears, dear listeners, and
it wasn't pretty. It was hard to salvage.
I had a headache after trying to edit it, so yeah. So unfortunately that audio is now locked away in the Main Street Mechies vault, never to be seen again.
That's a limited edition release, only for our ears.
Yep. That will never be heard. Unfortunately, too, because it was a great episode. But
it was a good episode. We'll have to do another one and retouch on our memories, possibly after you've gone to Disney World in January with some fresh memories.
Ooh, yeah. Well,
some fresh memes.
So we're not going to do the memories episode for this week, unfortunately. But instead, we're still going to keep it kind of light on the technical aspect here. We're going to do some hot tips.
Hot tips.
I almost said hot tricks.
The hot tricks, too.
Tips and tricks.
There you
Disney.
Go.
So Noah's going to focus on Disneyland. I'm going to focus
Coast.
On Disney World. East Coast, sure, yeah.
I guess, home parks.
Home parks.
where we happened to go most of the time. Yeah. Some good travel tips.
Yeah, so we're going to go through those. Just some travel tips, some Disney tricks. Tricks and
that's a tough
tips
word.
And trips and all that.
Some
good
sneaky
stuff.
Little moves for you kids out there. Some trips. Some trip tips. Some trip tricks for you.
This is gonna be a disaster. All right.
This is gonna be horrible. Well, would you like to kick us off with your first trip tip for Disney World?
All right. The hard part is, and I will say this just out of the gate, Noah and I both ran into the issue of, are these tips and tricks, or are these just how we like to vacation?
There you go.
So there's going to be a little bit of that. I think I got a couple, and unfortunately, I am going to repeat one or two of my, I can't remember if I've said any of these before in our other five episodes, but
we're gonna find out.
Yeah, one I know I definitely have, but for the first one I'm gonna focus on the day that you arrive, and so that's
Ooh.
That's where this tip focuses. So travel days are always kind of a nightmare when you think about
yeah.
it. Like as far as like making the most out of a Disney day, having a chunk of that day be flying.
Oh, it's painful.
Yeah, it's terrible. And
yeah.
you feel like you gotta go do something, because you're in Disney. Like, you can't just go up, but if you're a West Coast person, like Noah and I are, or even like, Midwest or middle of the continental U.S. or off the continental U.S., you
Ooh.
Got some serious jet lag. You've been traveling probably all day. And if you arrive in Florida in time to go to a park, that means that you definitely woke up your time probably before 6.
Very early.
Yeah, super early to get onto your flight. But, you know, you're in Disney. You feel like you gotta go do something. And so I have the solution to this. Or at least I think my solution. And we're gonna full test this. We've kind of like minorly tested this tip beforehand. But this will get a full test on our trip in January.
That
first day, don't book a park. Don't even get a park ticket for that day. Because you're going to downtown Disney. Yeah, you're going to downtown Disney. You're going to go check into your hotel. You're going to be jet lagged. You're going to be tired. You're not going to go and try to like snag half a day in a park. Pay for a whole park ticket. Try and see if you can snag like one or two rides and then go back to your hotel exhausted. No, you're going to go. You're going to grab a nice leisurely bus down to downtown Disney. You're going to either book a dinner reservation or have a place picked out. And that's going to be your plan for the day. That is, you're going to arrive, you're going to drop off your bags. If you need to take a nap, take a nap. Downtown Disney is open. And you're just going to eat and maybe shop a bit. That's all you're doing. It's low stress. You can just go to bed when you want because it's not like you're waiting for a firework. Once you've eaten, if you have something at the park that you need to get, let's say you want to pick up a Magic Band or you want to pick up like a Disney gift card or anything like that, you can get that little bit of shopping done beforehand. Then the next day, you get a good night's sleep. You go into the park fully refreshed, fully excited, no travel left over on you. And that's how you start out your trip. I understand not everybody can do this, especially with short trips. But if you have the ability to, that's what Miranda and I are going to be doing. We're going to try our best. We're snagging reservations at the House of Blues. That's the plan.
Nice.
And the day we arrive, that's it. We're going to go. I think Miranda's just going to use her phone for her ticket, but I'm going to pick up a Magic Band because I need that. And
it's important.
Yeah. So we're going to pick up the Magic Band, maybe do some shopping, look at some pins, all that good stuff. Go get our dinner, and then we're going to sleep. We're going to go to sleep with that little dash of Disney at our hotel and then wake up and go into Epcot. That's the little dash of Disney.
Yeah. That's a good phrase. We should use that for something if someone hasn't already. I like this hack because it applies for both U.S. parks, mm-hmm. like Disney Springs, Downtown Disney. And like, yeah, whenever I'm trying to plan a Disney trip, I'll be looking at flights and only targeting ones like red eyes that leave super early so that I can get a full day. Because if I arrive after, you know, noon or one, then it's a wasted ticket. You're getting like half the time that you paid for. So I like this because, yeah, and, you know, like you said, if you can afford the extra time, if you have a short trip and you need to, you know, milk it as much as you can, obviously sprint into the parks and, you know, get your stuff done. But why not just, you know, land in Orlando at 1 or noon, not have to wake up super early, and just stroll around? Because every time I've gone to Disney, either park, there's always part of me that wants some time in that park's respective, like, mall district.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's Downtown Disney or Disney Springs. And to the point where the last time I went to Disneyland, we were so busy doing stuff in the park that our group didn't, like, do any Downtown Disneying. So on our last day there, I woke up early and I just walked through Downtown Disney. It was like super dead because the only thing open was Starbucks. And I just walked through and enjoyed it. And I didn't do any shopping because it was super early, but I went and like got coffees, I think, for all of the people in our group. And then like walked through the Grand Californian to get the feel as if I were staying there. I wasn't. But get the feeling and, you know, go hang out in the foyer. But that's a good tip because that's part of the experience. Like if you're a local, then maybe it's just another shopping mall to you. But for us non-locals, it's part of the Disney experience. You want to get some time in these restaurants that have, you know, outside of Disney quality experiences to be had for the same price, like some of the higher end restaurants in Disney Springs. So I like that. That's a good one.
I think it hits the other thing you were saying too, though. It's hard to snag a Downtown Disney day. Couple hours at Downtown Disney, you feel like you're not in the parks. But if you don't even got a park reservation, you don't even got a ticket, it's no stress. It's almost like a free day where you just kind of get to go. You get to pedal around, do some shopping, have some fun. And in my opinion, it works for both travel days, depending on when you leave.
Definitely.
Because if you're, yeah. let's say your flight's taken off at like, taken off in the afternoon, you kind of got to get up and moving on a travel day. You can't just,
oh yeah.
you can't like groggily sleep in, or at least you can't because I get around. Stressed.
Yeah.
But same, if you same. Can drop off your stuff or have the hotel kind of like hold on to your stuff and just go take an hour to get lunch in downtown. Miranda and I have done that a couple times where the day we leave, we go get lunch in downtown and then go over to the airport. And it's great.
And you just mentioned this isn't one of the oh God, what did I say? Trip tricks. This isn't one of those that I was planning on talking about. But when booking a hotel, and I'm pretty sure, I would assume the Disney hotels, like the resort hotels, do this, but check wherever you're booking. Most likely they will have like a baggage hold area or lockers or something, because most hotels you can't check in until like the afternoon/evening, and you've probably gotten there before it's your check-in time. So what I've done on the last like three trips I've been on is we get there, like get to Disneyland in the morning, go to our hotel. You can't check in yet, but you know, like, can you hold these bags until it's time to check in? And most likely they'll be like, yeah, sure. And then you don't have to worry about checking in. You don't have to worry about hauling your bags around, you know, downtown Disney or Disney Springs. Then you can just go do your thing. And when you come back and it's time to check in, there your bags will be waiting for you. So that's a good tip.
Every resort hotel that I think I've stayed at, and I'm guessing the hotels around, I think actually even, I think the Anaheim Majestic Garden that Miranda and I stayed at did this too. They have like a bag valet. And
yeah.
So you just drop off your bags because you're there before check-in, and usually too they'll just bring the bags up to the room when it's ready, and so when you get there it's just kind of it's all your stuff's already there.
You're adding to the experience by using that service, really.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have to lug your bags to your room.
Yeah, you just drop it off. They'll take care of it. It's Disney. They got you.
It's Disney. You all got friends.
So that's my first trick. What's your first? So, you kind of gave us a bonus one right there.
I know. I just you mentioned a good bonus trip for anyone that's just traveling somewhere and staying in a hotel in general. So this is Disneyland specific, and this is very almost nitpicky, and it's I would call it on the cheatsy poo side of these tricks. It's not just a fun little tactic. It's you will get better results by doing this. So Pirates of the Caribbean in Disneyland, it does not have a long queue area. It's, well, they make the line stretch out way longer than it was intended to. But the queue area is just the little courtyard in front of the Pirates' facade, like the building. And then there's just two lines. You can go in on the left or the right. If you go in on the left side and the right side, both lines weave through the courtyard and they go up the little ramps around the courtyard. The left line goes past the entrance, back halfway, like, to where the loading area is, but you're outside the building, and then doubles back again, and then you come inside. The right side, once you get to the top of the ramp outside the courtyard, you're in. You cut your wait probably by, like, 5 to 10 minutes just by picking the right side. That fly really attacked you there.
I know, right?
Some aggressive fly, wow. For those listening, I'm watching Alex bat a fly out of his face.
Oh, I'm cutting this. Are you kidding
no.
me?
No.
Yes.
It's all about the conversation moments that happen live as we have them.
Give me 2 seconds.
All right, go ahead. Alex is now standing up and turning around, holding what seems to be a box for some sort of electronic device. He's looking around for the fly, very evasive. He shrugged. Lost the fly. Oh, that's a quick fly. Takes one last look around and resigns in defeat, coming back to the computer.
The moment I threaten it. The moment I threaten it.
You gotta put up that friendly face right until it's time to SWAT.
Okay, sorry, continue.
I think that's one of the few queues in Disneyland that I can think of where you are faced with that choice, the other probably being Indiana Jones. There's one line pretty much the whole way, but right when you're about to get into the loading area in that main chamber, you either go up the stairs on the left or on the right. And I guess, you know, if you really care that much, the left side is shorter because it's on the inside of the turn you're making, but that's not a huge thing. The real huge thing there is if you ride single rider on Indiana Jones, and I'm merging two tips here because I just remembered this. If you do single rider on Indiana Jones, which, you know, you got to go ask for, there's no single rider line. You just got to say, like, can I do, are you doing single rider? They'll give you your little ticket and you'll get all the way to that point where they're splitting you up. And then you say, I've got a single rider ticket, and they let you go up the elevator and then across the bridge and then down the elevator, just like in at Incredicoaster in California Adventure. And then you are right there on the loading platform, ready to board, and you have cut past, like, so many people. It is the best feeling. Plus, elevators. So, yeah, that's awesome. My first...
that's a straight-up trick. Like, that is
That's the strat. So, you know, next time you're there, Pirates of the Caribbean, always go right, unless you really want to stand outside for some reason. But why would you when that sweet, sweet water smell is waiting for you just past those doors? Not sponsored by Magic Candle Company. Yet.
Yet.
Oh, that'd be great.
That. Oh, man. I love those tricks. Those are some serious tricks.
That's my most technically advanced trip trick. So I'll set the bar there and then continually let you down from here on out.
Okay, well, I'm gonna follow your lead because my trip trick has a similar thing, and it's one I've said before, and I'll elaborate on it a little bit, and it kind of just goes in general for rides in Disney World and I guess Land. So a great example of this is the single rider test track experience. So I mentioned this beforehand. Test track has a pretty long wait queue because of kind of the, like, one of the reasons is because of the experience that goes along with it. You go into a big old room, you make your car, takes like 3 to 4 minutes. But you also have a timer on you when you're making that car. So the decisions are made very quickly. So that's what happens when you go in the standby queue. Here's what you're going to do, listeners. You're not going to do the standby queue. You're not going to do that.
What?
Now,
what?
Not all of you can do this. Remember, we said this in an earlier episode. Not everyone can do this or it doesn't work. But
oh yeah,
if you can, what you're going to do is you're going to do the single rider, but you're not going to miss out on any of the experience because you're going to go through the back door into the gift shop of Test Track and then into their, like, showcase area where they have a bunch of consoles where you can do the whole make your car thing with no timer on you. You can just go in, you can make your car, just have a good old time with it, scan it onto your ticket, and then you go hop into the single rider line, and you typically walk right on that ride in like 15 minutes. You still got to make your car, and you just hop on. Typically you get to talk to some fun people on the way.
Some fellow geniuses.
Yeah. I was, man, I can't remember how old I was. I think I was like 15. I was behind a whole bunch of college students, and one of the girls there was upset because I looked older than she was, and she was very upset about that. But they had done same thing. Just gone in, made their cars, and came into the single rider. They were a whole group, but they just wanted to ride the ride. So I had a tip for the third one. I'm gonna have to change a little bit because I do you mind if I just go into it?
No, go for it.
Hey, the ride photos, unless they change something, the only thing that's on the free ones is a watermark. You can just screenshot those suckers on your phone. Like, this just kind of a money saving tip. If you really, really don't like the watermark, like, live your best life, go, you can pay for it, like, 100%. But if you're not really wanting to pay for it, it's just you made a funny face on a ride and you really want to send it to somebody, just kind of screenshot it on your phone, send it over. It's got like a Disney watermark on it. That's it.
So are you telling me that right now, you know, pre-Genie, in the pre-Genie era in Disney World, if you go on a ride and you are, what, are you, do you have to be wearing a Magic Band to get your ride photo on your phone?
No, because you have to have a profile to enter the park.
So how does it know you rode the ride?
You know, I'm pretty sure. They know you
entered. I know this.
And I believe it scans you as you enter, even if you don't actually touch it against a thing.
I am remembering something I read like years ago about Rock and Roller Coaster, because in the queue for Rock and Roller Coaster, there are those movie posters, mm-hmm. like that cycle that show, or like the concert posters that show the names of people in line. And it's only the people that have Magic Bands, because there are like long range, like RFID scanners in the room that are just clocking who's coming through the room. Okay.
I believe now they can just do that to your phone.
Yeah, which would make sense.
Yeah, they're just scanning, and I think it also, from what I think I've read a thing a while back where it also now uses like location services, like it's able to tell you are fully inside this area. So
it's like, we detected you, and your location says you're here, so we're gonna assume you're here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they have scanners in the ride vehicles that say it's like, oh, I'm they're sure. on ride vehicle number, whatever. But yeah, no, it will immediately just send you your like your car. Like, let's say, so Splash Mountain, really iconic picture. It will send you whatever log you are on and send you your picture. You don't even have to go to the kiosk.
That's next level.
Yeah, you can just walk out, take a screenshot, and they stay on your phone for a while, too. Like, they don't go away.
Let me tell you what us cavemen over in Disneyland have had to do, is walk straight up to the ride photo screens, and you hold your phone, you know, right up to the screen and just take a picture of it. And then go, look, that pixel is me. Cool. Sorry you can't see because the plastic was so dirty. I did that the last time I went to Disneyland. Every time, because I brought a sign with me that said, please hire me, and I held it up on every ride for the photo.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to get the pictures. And, but it's ridiculous. Everyone does it. Everyone goes to the screens and takes a picture of the screen because... I hope. Well, I mean, that is a perk with Genie, so like, I'm glad that's coming to Disneyland. Because, God, how long has that been like that at Disney World?
Since Magic Bands.
Sheesh! Yeah, what are we doing over here?
If I remember correctly, that's since. I mean, it's got the watermark on it. It's the whole My Disney Experience app thing. It's honestly, it was. I am interested to see how Genie works. As somebody mm-hmm. who is his look it looks at I'm scared to even say anything about this.
Go for it.
As somebody who understands like can just has looked into the issues with the efficiency that FastPass gave, I can understand some of the decisions made. I don't agree with all of them. For instance, I get not giving fast passes to literally everybody that walks in, because the fast pass lines were as long as the standby lines in a lot of places.
If everyone has a fast pass, no one does.
Exactly. And so they tried to limit that in World by, like, doing the whole, like, you can only have three and then you can get one every time. And then we gained that system like none other. I rode more rides. I rode more rides on that system than in any other FastPass system.
I think this conversation has grown into something that we could probably devote an entire episode to.
Okay.
And that's just ride queue management logistics.
Yes. Okay. I will stop. Okay, but back to my tip and trick. Those single rider lanes, especially on rides like Test Track, where it's like an experience, if you're okay missing maybe the pre-show or whatever, and I will say this does not work with young kids. Just because unless your kid is really cool and is just like ready to ride alone, probably not gonna want to ride alone, and you probably don't want to not ride with them either. So this right. is it's a little bit more selective, but if you have the ability to do it, or if you're a parent and you like either mom or dad, or if either or is willing to hang on to the kiddos for a second, go jump in that single rider, take that 15 minute wait, go ride your ride real quick. You'll be back before they even notice, before they finish their Mickey.
Before they even noticed you're gone.
Yeah. All right. So that's my tip and trick. All right. Let's hear your second one.
Was that your number two or your number two and number three?
That was my number two with a couple bonus ones, I guess, thrown in.
We're adding some bonuses in here.
God.
Some,
it's this episode's everywhere.
That's fine. It's okay. And I just, the what you just said about the parents going off, isn't rider switch a thing?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
That's something if you are a parent with children that, you know, have different thrill level desires, or like you are, because it's like a parent can go ride with one child, that child can get out and the other child can get in.
And you can ride, right? So actually, I think the way that mainly works is you can, let's say you got the two parents are coming in, they got one kid. They can rider swap and have the kid ride with both parents.
Yeah.
That way, spoil your kid. Yeah, well, spoil your kid, and that way both parents get to actually ride with their kid and actually get to experience that, which is super cool. And you wait a lot less.
You save so much time.
Yeah.
It's so great. And it's so tough if you're in a group of three, because the only ride vehicle that has a row of three is Test Track or Cars that I can think of. And then like Pirates, but that's like a whole bench. Like, it's tough to find something where you can be like group of three. You could probably squeeze into a Doom Buggy, but I don't know if you want to do that.
Yeah, well, and then there's the ad thing. What if you got a kid who can't ride the ride? Like, I think that's what it's mostly made for, is if you got a kid that can't ride the ride,
mm-hmm.
then one parent can stay with the kid who can't ride, and then they can swap so that both parents still get to ride the ride with the kid, but, you know, you don't...
Yeah.
Yeah. You get to do so responsibly.
It's a surprisingly considerate program.
Yes.
provided by Disney.
It is.
So thanks, Disney. Okay. On to my number two.
Mm-hmm.
This is also, well, this isn't like a cheat. This is just a fun little fact. So we, in our Unheard Memories episode, which none of you will have heard, but we talked about how in the parks, and on our Instagram, we talked about this in our last post, how there are some places in the parks that make you feel like you're in your own world when you're really just, you know, a few steps off the main path. And that's something that Disney does really well with land and area design, is by creating these little alcoves and spots that guests can feel like they're having an individual experience when they're really surrounded by hundreds of people. So in Disneyland, this is in like the transition area between New Orleans Square and Splash and Critter Country, if it's even called that anymore. I think it is. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter. So you are right near the entrance for Haunted Mansion. You're looking straight ahead, and there's Splash Mountain. You look to your right, you've got the Rivers of America, and the big pirate ship is probably hanging there. There's a clam chowder restaurant. If you walk a few steps forward, that's not my trick. It's delicious. Don't get me wrong. You can get a chowder bowl there that will knock your socks off. But there's a chowder restaurant there. And if you walk up to the front window and then you order, you can go right, and the dock keeps going and wraps around the building. And there's a little path that leads from that dock on the other side of the chowder building down back behind, and kind of like not behind, further up and closer to the front of Splash Mountain. And it actually goes over where the logs that just splashed down in Splash Mountain go after they splash down. So you can sit up there, and there are tables, and this is a totally unlabeled area. There's no sign saying like eating area this way, but there are like a handful of tables over there. It is so quiet all the time because no one knows about it. So don't, okay, everyone, come closer. Don't abuse this, okay? This is our secret. You can't all go there at the same time. It's the same thing as the test track thing. We need to moderate. If you go there, you can enjoy your chowder. You can see people cresting Splash Mountain. And then you can see them after they've splashed down as they go under you. And 9 times out of 10, they will be hooting and hollering. And they are in quite the mood to talk if you want to talk to them. If you just want to shout something at them, they'll go, woo, or something like that. This is especially important because the last time I was in Disneyland, I was eating here, and Splash broke down. And someone was right about to go over the hill when it broke down. So there is a group of like 3, I think, in a log at the top of the hill, just stuck up there. And we're sitting there eating our clam chowder, just watching these people. And eventually they start shouting things. They're like, help us! They're trapping us! And everyone's watching these people. And I'm so mad I didn't get a video of it, but we were just laughing at these people that are just like, help, we're trapped! And then we got to watch them evacuate these people like down the front of the mountain, like on the grass. Like there was a walkway that wrapped around, and we watched them take that route. So that was really weird. But if you're ever, next time you're in Disneyland and you are near Splash Mountain, go to the clam chowder restaurant. If you are hungry, get clam chowder. If you are not hungry, still walk past and look for this hidden little back area, because it is so calm and serene. You can still hear people, but there is enough wildlife around you that they kind of block it out. And then you can see Splash Mountain and see all the people that just came down the hill. And it is a blast. That is my trip trick number 2.
That is a serious trip trick. Like that, I'm gonna hit that one up for sure.
And that's like the only big one I can think of, like that secret area, because there's not a lot of them in Disneyland. Like there's not a whole bunch of space, and there's only the 2 parks, but that's one of the best for sure, and it's a little known area and it's not labeled or anything. You just gotta go find it, which is also part of the fun. When you find it, it's like a little reward for just exploring. Like I just found something in this incredibly commercial theme park that not a lot of people know about, and it's a nice feeling.
That's awesome. I love that.
All right, would you care to round out your list with number 3 and probably some bonus ones?
Obviously, but yeah. Okay, so my number 3, kind of along the same vein, I'd say it's actually closer to a trick, but I don't know how unknown this is, mainly because I don't see it being used very often, and it always surprises me. So I don't think people realize that at Disney, the park closing time, like the exact time that it closes, to be honest, is a suggestion. And I say this with as much respect as humanly possible to the cast members, and with as much love to the cast members as humanly possible, as I'm...
We love you all.
I'm sure I have been the people that they've hated. But...
Oh, no.
As long as you're not causing issues or like literally not leaving, you can spend time in the park after it has closed, like a good chunk of time. I think my family has left Epcot an hour plus after it closed.
just wandering around.
Well, so they don't turn the music off. The cast members start closing down. And so that's the thing. As long as you are not impeding that's kind of like my line. You're not going into shops and trying to order sweets. You're not trying to shop or...
Y'all still open?
Yeah,
can I get something?
There's none of that. This is a very much like a moseying out of the park. But the biggest thing that this does is everybody can picture this scene as I'm going to describe it. The fireworks end, it's time for the park to close, and a ocean of people proceed to walk down the main way out towards the buses to get on their bus and, like, wait at the bus for like 45 minutes to an hour.
Long time.
Yeah, with everybody else. And so that's the trick. And in Disneyland, it's similar because everybody's walking out to either walk to their hotel or get an Uber or they're at the Disneyland hotel, but everybody's getting to their transportation. The tip is, in that exact moment, what you do is whatever direction the people are walking, you look to your right or left. If you can find a seat, you grab it, and you sit there for at least 20 minutes. Just let the people leave. If you can't find a seat there, then you turn your butt around, and you walk the opposite direction of
against the flow.
Until there is no flow, you leave that flow. And then you go, you find your little spot of Disney magic. Because there is nothing cooler than being, like, literally one of under 100 people in a park.
Oh, I bet.
And
oh, my gosh.
My mom and brother actually learned a little secret with Disney. Fireworks, once they're primed and once they're set up, they have to be set off, right? It's a law. Once a firework is primed, you cannot go and restore a firework. It has been primed. It is ready to use. You have to blow it up. They have to do that at Disney, and it happens relatively often that they have either extra fireworks or some duds, stuff like that. In Epcot, when it was Illuminations, they fire them all off at once. It's not just like they kind of shoot off a couple. And so my mom and my brother, Epcot closed at 10. My mom and my brother just kind of walked around World Showcase for a while. Took a really long, leisurely walk. We're just talking. The music's still playing in the background. The torches were still lit. Epcot is beautiful at night. And so they're walking around. All of a sudden, from the center of the World Showcase, or the Seven Seas Lagoon, an explosion and this mushroom cloud, just giant, just boom. And there's this big mushroom cloud, and my mom and my brother, we were staying in the Epcot Resort area. So they were walking distance. So they were in no rush.
Okay.
They kind of looked at each other and went, I think that's them saying it's time for us to leave. And so they walked their way out. Took them about 20 minutes still to get out the door. And walked out, but they didn't get back. Park closed at 10. They didn't get back till like 11:30. Like,
sheesh.
Yeah, no. So that's kind of my big tip is the park closing. I would say, especially if you're going young kids, they got their limits on how long they can be. But that being said, I can't tell you how many times me and my parents and my brother played in the dancing fountains in Epcot or Magic Kingdom after the park had closed and just played in the fountains and danced
Amazing.
Around with a bunch of other kids too. But that's that time after the park is closed, the kind of throng of people have left. Those are my favorite times in the park. None of the rides are open, none of the attractions are open, but the park is just full Disney immersed, because it's
literally a park.
It's literally just you. You're just walking around looking at stuff and enjoying the music and just enjoying the atmosphere. And you can just like fully fall into it. And you can go sit on the ground against a building in Magic Kingdom if you wanted to, or just chill out in the center of the castle. You can pretty much do. There's no like crowds limiting where you can stand at or where you can take pictures. And so it is 100% my favorite times at the park. And if you have not experienced Disney after closing is the time to be. Like, it is the place to be.
I gotta do that. Because, every time I've been in the park and it's been, you know, closing time, you hear the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, or something like that. I'm like, oh, all right, time to start walking out. And usually at that point, like, to be fair, I'm pretty tired. You know, did rope drop, stayed in the park the entire day. But, like, there's nothing wrong with just taking a seat and avoiding the sometimes terrifying traffic of people that all funnel towards the exit. That's... I gotta do that. That's a good one. And I, go ahead.
Well, I'm just really hoping that they all of a sudden, that suddenly Disney became not cool. I'm really hoping that Disney didn't suddenly become not cool with that. And I'm giving this tip, and then there's gonna be people that are like, and they kicked me out and told me to get on the bus. They threw me on it.
Because that jerk on Main Street Mickey's told me to stay.
Yeah, he said I could stay, and then I got yelled at by Mickey Mouse. And...
Mickey Mouse punched me. He told me to get out in front of my son.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they aren't more stringent about that. I know COVID changes things too, but if they aren't, and you have the opportunity to just kind of sit and enjoy the parks and enjoy the lights and just enjoy Disney at night for like what it really can be, I 100% take it. Take it every single day. I would take that over a rope drop every single day.
That's fair, because rope drop, it's like the opposite. It is all the people concentrated in one spot and being chaotic, whereas this is all the people dissolving from one spot, and you just get to stay there and enjoy the space for what it is, just a really well-designed area.
It is also fantastic people watching.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Exhausted people at the end of a day leaving, dealing with the crowds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. And I think the chaotic good side of this coin, if that's like lawful good, I'd say the chaotic good side is the people who say, park's closing, time to hop in line for a ride, because they can't kick me out.
Yep. It's a little hot tip. If you're in line,
you can do it.
the minute the park closes, if you're in line before that, they cannot remove you out of line. Even if
they
can
stop letting you in, but they can't kick you out.
I believe I've seen some points where the line started to stretch outside of the queue, and the cast member went, if you can get inside this queue before the time closes, that's fine. But if it hits 9, I have to cut it off at where my body
that's
is.
That's stressful.
I've heard that one. I got caught up on that one. It was just kind of.
I mean,
like,
I'd believe that if everyone's rushing to get in line, yeah. You know, at like 8:59, you gotta cut it off at some point.
Yeah, and
at
it was like 7 just... dwarves, and so it was busy.
Oh,
yeah,
that makes sense.
All right.
That's a good tip, though. I like that.
You.
I like that one.
All right, hit me with that third one.
This third one is probably the most, not disappointing, but personally significant one. Since 2017, every time I go to a Disney park, I have around my waist a fanny pack. And let me tell you why. It is... No, come back.
No!
I swear, it's real. It's real, I swear.
No!
Come back. Let me tell you why that is the most brilliant piece of storage apparel you will ever bring into the parks. It is always attached to you. A purse can fall off. A backpack gets heavy and hurts your back. A fanny pack is only driving the weight into your legs. There's no extra strain put on any other parts of your body. That's physics and medicine. Second of all, it can hold all of the things you need. I have successfully packed a fanny pack with fast passes, park tickets, sunscreen, a full water bottle, a bag of trail mix, and extra baggies for my phone for going on Splash Mountain because it wasn't waterproof. It is... such a great tip. Get that look off your face.
No.
This is yes, you do it. I have two that are like at my parents' house that I've used on the last trips I've been on, and they have not failed me once. And maybe it's because my dad always wore a fanny pack when we travel anywhere. I don't know. I'm my father's child. But still, it holds everything you need. They can be waterproof if you buy a waterproof one. And if you need to put it in a locker, there's no backpack stuffing. There's no purse finagling. It's a fanny pack. You toss that sucker in there, slam the door, forget about it. You're golden. Get on your ride.
Okay. I will say, this is, listeners, this is a good tip.
Yeah!
Fanny packs are good. I'm
you're
also
darn right
going to
it
say,
is.
If I wore a fanny pack on my trip in January, I would come back divorced. And that's just what would happen.
And that's okay. You know,
I will
you know,
be doing
next,
a backpack.
Next level storage wisdom is not for everyone. Change can be scary. I get that. But when we go someday, you and I and our significant others, when we go, I will be sporting a fanny pack, and I will have brought one for you to try on.
All right.
You don't have to wear it the whole day. Just give it a shot. I started doing it when I went with my high school choir in 2017, and I never looked back. Plus, people always compliment them. Everyone loves a good fanny pack, as long as you get a good fanny pack. Don't get an ugly fanny pack. Then the joke is ruined. It has to be tacky. You have to embrace the tackiness.
Fanny pack?
Yes, there's a non-ugly fanny pack.
I said that knowing I would trigger something.
There's a store on Amazon that's like 70s retro or whatever, and I got a neon color block fanny pack that looks, it's so tacky that it comes around 180 and it fits in just right. If you're getting like a tactical fanny pack that's like a modern company markets it as like an actual thing, you don't want that. They're taking themselves too seriously. It's a fanny pack. It has fanny in the name. But you know, just have fun with it. And that's my third trip to.
All right, I'm throwing down right now. You in a fanny pack is going to be in our five for Friday. I demand it. You brought this into our home. You did this, so now you must
you
be
bring
shown.
This energy into our house. You surround our listeners with it.
Okay. Well, you heard it here, listener. You will see Noah for the first time, and you will see him wearing a fanny pack.
Only if you tune into our Instagram at Main Street Mekkies.
Yep. It's a little gift
for you. A little gifty for y'all. Well, I think that puts a lovely bow on our tips and tricks.
I think
Don't
it's
you?
Time. Yeah, I do. I think it's maybe time for some mouse geared.
Mouse geared!
Yeah!
Okay.
All right. So.
I'm ready.
We're going for a heavy hitter tonight.
Oh, gosh.
We're going for
after
a really
Smorg?
Heavy hitter.
You're going heavy after Smorg?
We're going heavy after Smorg.
Oh, okay.
We're going
okay.
Space Mountain, buddy.
Oh, jeez. What? Wait, whoa. I feel like, wait a second. Okay, hold on. Oh, man.
I believe
okay.
I've spoken. I think that's how
you
the
have
rules
spoken.
Work.
It's just bouncing off the inside of my head. I can't believe it. Okay. Well, jeez.
So, I'll give the quick description of Space Mountain.
Explain Space Mountain to
so,
those who don't know.
So, to anybody who has not ridden Space Mountain, either yet, or just kind of is a little vague on the memory, if you're either one of those, ride it soon. It's great. So, Space Mountain is a dark ride roller coaster in which you are... I don't really know much of the story of Space Mountain. I think the story of Space Mountain is you go space. And that's about
space.
It. So you get in these little car coasters that look like rocket ships. You go through a tube of light, and then you go around a roller coaster that's all like space themed. There's like retro space music playing. Super fun. A lot of hairpin turns. You never want to see it with the lights on. I'm gonna tell everyone that, especially
no, you don't.
Especially if you're over 6 feet tall.
6 feet tall.
Don't put your hands up if you're at that height either. My brother has touched the rails.
No,
anywho,
he has not. Wait, really?
He tells this story often. So. Please keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the vehicle. Does count for above you, by the way. There is a radius that is included in your vehicle that when you exit, you are no longer in it. So, Nathan put his hands up. Nathan has pretty long arms, and his fingertips brushed a rail. And he doesn't know for sure if it was a rail or if it was like a support beam. I'm guessing a support beam.
Better be a support beam.
It was definitely
a
support beam. But he brushed it. He has never put his hands up in that ride again. I have not either because I saw it with the lights on.
Did he, wait, when the car was going at like full speed?
No, it was right when we started. It was right when we started. He had his hands up outside of the tunnel, and it brushed a support beam, and hands went immediately down.
Gosh, that's like your nightmare.
Yes.
To just because you can, for those of you that haven't ridden it, like, it's pretty dark in there, but there are still projectors projecting stars and some light. So there's enough light that you can see when there's like a support bar or something kind of ahead of you.
But it doesn't look as close as it actually is because it's dark. Your depth perception is definitely off.
I hate that. If I did that, I would like shrivel up into the fetal position for the rest of the ride and be like, get me out.
That's what Nathan did.
Wait, what? Not to get on too much of a tangent, but what was your lights on experience?
We got stuck almost vertical.
On Space Mountain?
Well, like, we were up, like, we were doing one of, like, the curves. Like, the curves that kind of go up. And so like we were banking and going up a bit. And so then the ride stopped. And so it stopped, I believe, because somebody dropped their hat and it, like, got into a ride mechanism. But so we were sitting there and we're like sitting in the thing. I think like my dad was in front of me. My mom was behind me. We're chatting and all of a sudden you just hear click and the lights go on. The music was still going. Eventually that turned off too. But the lights go on. It's all white in there. There's just a bunch of like projectors and stuff like that. And then we looked down and there's just like 40 hats. No, there was just like 40 hats and lanyards and just like a couple like suckers. So much loose change, candy. Sure. Like there was like a jacket and a backpack. It was everything. You could have dressed your whole Disney trip with what was down there.
I'm sure cast members do. I mean, that's
the coolest part, and this was actually like pretty cool. We were somewhat in the beginning of the ride.
Oh, did you get to ride the rest of it?
We rode the rest of it with the lights on.
Yeah.
Which was both awesome and horrifying. Like, it was it was great and bad, but super cool. Because, we rode the whole rest of it with the lights on. And, banked in with the lights on. It was really neat.
We've mentioned it once before. I think we agreed on this, that Disneyland Space Mountain is better. Because it is the newer of the two.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the Magic Kingdom Space Mountain was built off of the blueprint of the Matterhorn. So you got, like, single rows, toboggan-style seating. And then in Disneyland, like, two seats. The one time I've seen that with the lights on, as we crested the lift hill and began our descent, we hear a voice from, like, I'm guessing it's, like, the PA speakers they have for cast members to make their announcements. It was, like, an automated voice, and it was just saying, please stay seated. Do not leave the vehicle. And we're still moving, and my brain is going, why would I leave the vehicle? Why would I not stay seated? We're riding. What's going on? And we keep going, and I thought we were going to stop, and we keep going, and every time we go through a turn, there's no music. It's just, stay seated in your vehicle. Do not leave the vehicle. And I start thinking, like, oh, God, we're going to crash into another car. Something's gone horribly wrong. And then we stopped at a brake run, and then the lights came on, but we were most of the way through. So they pushed our train to, like, finish the ride with the lights on, but it was, like, half the speed it was probably designed for. So we kind of just, like, coasted through the rest of the ride, and we were past, like, the higher points. That thing, you want to talk about using your space wisely.
That,
no pun intended.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've stalled long enough.
Yes.
Let me tell you what I would do. I love Space Mountain, and I don't want to get rid of that theme in Tomorrowland. I think it is probably the most Tomorrowlandy thing in Tomorrowland. So, I would take, you know, let's treat Magic Kingdom and Disneyland as the same. We're redoing both of them. Make both of them like Disneyland style trains where it's like two people per row, because the one in Magic Kingdom gave me whiplash and I haven't forgiven it for that. It was my fault. I was staring at all the pretty lights, and then we hit a turn, and it yanked my neck out. So. I was like, this is so beautiful. Whoa, oh, gosh. But the Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris.
Oh.
Are you familiar?
Yes, I am, with the cannon.
With the cannon. It is, for those of you who don't know, Disneyland Paris does not have Tomorrowland. They have Discoveryland, and it is all themed after... it's very steampunky and Jules Verne-esque. So like high tech, but it's really like lots of copper and lots of like glass and steam powered things. It's super cool. And Space Mountain, the story is you are being launched out of a cannon. So you are launched up the lift hill and then into the actual ride building, which has like a couple of inversions, I'm pretty sure. Like you go upside down a couple of times on their Space Mountain. I want the theming to be closer, not that exactly, but that kind of caliber of commitment. Because I get it, Space Mountains are old. So my mouse gear it is redoing / reskinning. Not really reskinning, mostly redoing. We're updating the ride vehicles to have, you know, modern graphics. And the effects inside, I want more projection screens, better stars that aren't just from, like, you know, a little disco ball projector from the 80s. Probably, I would say, like, putting fiber optics in the walls or in, like, a false wall on the side so that you can control them also and they can have features that you can control. And I'd say, like, the Tron ride is probably the newest iteration of, like, the Space Mountain style of, like, indoor dark roller coaster.
Yeah.
And that thing, they've got all kinds of cool lighting effects on the train and on projections. And, I mean, even with the Hyperspace Mountain overlay, they did a great job with some of the stuff they added to the Space Mountains, just with, like, you know, laser effects and things like that. So I don't have an exact image or vision, but I know I want to keep it as Space Mountain. I can't believe he did Space Mountain on episode 6.
I'm sorry. I'm
keeping it as Space Mountain. And updating the heck out of it to make it the glorious space-bound ride it deserves to be. Go for it.
All right. So I am with you. I love Space Mountain. Space Mountain's not getting a redo. It's not getting bulldozed.
Good.
There's nothing. Space Mountain is more Disney than any Disney IP that I could possibly put into Space Mountain. Or any IP I could do myself. The only issue I have with Space Mountain is I feel like there's just not much of a story to it.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like my big focus when I was thinking of stuff. So I want to do, technically a reskin, because I'm kind of altering like the look and story of it. But sure. The reskins come with the upgrades. So like upgraded ride vehicles, maybe kind of a newer look. Space Mountain is very much 80s space travel.
It's very 80s.
I think there's an in-between because the 80s of it is like part of its charm. Yeah. And you can't get rid of all of the 80s because then the outside will not make sense.
That's fair.
But there's like an in-between between modern and 80s that I think you can hit with the ride vehicles. Maybe just make them a little bit, have a little bit more edge to it, because
a little sleeker.
In case the listeners do not know, sleek, well actually no, I would say actually add some more edges and ridges, less sleekness.
So
sleek
Cyber
doesn't
truck.
Matter in space. Sleek does not matter in space at all.
It's
and
true.
That's something that I feel like is a very like, this is what Star Wars did to us, and it's the reason why Star Wars is more of a it's a space opera. It's not necessarily science fiction because you can't bank in space, and aerodynamics does not matter in space because there's no air. So you don't need your spaceship to be a tube or like a sleek capsule or anything like that. You can throw some like cool like edges to it and kind of make it more look like a shuttle. Mm-hmm. Is kind of what I was thinking. And so
okay.
I would like to see that done to the ride vehicle. And then for the story, I think you could do something really cool because I think it's going to be something that's very important to the human race. And that's kind of what Tomorrowland, I feel like, is what Walt wanted it to be about.
Yeah.
The more privatization of the space race. I kind of want it to be more around that of like you all entering are volunteers for the first privatized space flight to whatever or
to wherever
we're sending you to a new galaxy, like add some story to it where it's like you are adventurers going out to this new galaxy on whatever, like, I don't know, you can make like a fun like company that's shipping yeah. out and sending you
something like Latin sounding or something. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So don't go fully on Elon Musk on it, but
no.
But I feel like doing something about that, because there's the downsides of the privatized space race, which we've seen a lot of this year, but there is also like the really cool plus sides of the privatized space race, and a lot of the tech that we've been able to develop because of that, I think that deserves to be applauded. And yeah, so yeah. I think basing the ride off of that, I don't really have like a concrete story with
so,
it.
So more of like, kind of like what Space 220 is kind of going after, where it's like a space tourism almost.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like it's not so much like a welcome to our company and our company is better than theirs, but it's like a welcome, this is a service we provide, this is the thing you are doing, and we're great at it. So
almost
like,
kind of go like a Star Tours route, but yeah, but have yeah. it be like, look at what this could be kind of thing. Like right. like have the story of Space Mountain be like, wouldn't it be cool, and this is within our reach of like space travel becoming like plane flights in the next like yeah. few centuries or whatever. Like that's within something that human beings might be able to do someday, and
yeah.
having the story be around that. Now I want updated lights, I want updated that. I would love to see yeah. them recreate like going through a wormhole. I think would
that
be
would
really
be
cool.
So cool,
like watching, like instead of those light tubes, like there's a couple of those light tubes, I would love to see it be like you go into it and it looks like the space around you is stretching, and then you pop
that would be
out
so cool.
and, like flying oh. in. Update your light effects, probably update the mechanisms that is driving the thing. I don't want it to be smooth, because that's what makes Space Mountain fun, is the whiplash a bit.
the pain.
yeah, there's a fun with the pain. I don't want
the charm.
I don't want it to be Seven Dwarves smooth. But
I almost fell asleep on that ride. It's too smooth.
Yeah, no, but I do want... It can deal with a little bit of an unroughing of edges.
A
Not
little bit
smooth.
Of space turbulence.
Yeah, it's, don't smooth it out, but some of the edges are a bit too rough. So, like, let's add some tech. Let's make it a little bit less painful and more, like, feeling inertia rather than feeling your neck snap. And so... yeah, but that,
save
that's,
all of the...
That's my pitch.
You go. I like that. I think we like kind of have similar ideas, and you took it the step further into the actual story, because you're right. The weakest thing about it, other than like the dated theming, is there's no story. The story is you're on a space station and you're exploring space.
I thought it would be a cool okay. way to add stuff into the queue, too. So like you could have like little kiosks where people can like, I don't know, build their vacation home at whatever planet they're going to. Or,
oh,
like,
that'd be cool.
See like little, like make postcards at a bunch of different like planetary spaces. Like make it almost like an airport.
Like, have you seen those, they've been around for a while, those like space tourism posters
yeah,
that are
yeah.
done in like, yeah, like those retro, that kind of vibe where it's like, where will you go on your trip?
They
kind of
have like a
yeah.
little bit of that. Like they have just a little bit of that, like as you're exiting.
Yeah.
Like they have, it's like, oh, this is like kind of what we were talking about. And you're like, man, you didn't express that at all until I left. Like,
yeah. like
so
you do all of this.
yeah. It's like actually dragging into the story is what I think would really do Space Mountain a real
I like
service.
That
and still keep it space, like it's still Space Mountain.
Yeah, yeah, nice. That's a well done mouse geared. I think
yeah, that's one of our more complimentary ones.
I gotta tell you, I didn't think that we'd be able to hit a full hour on this one.
We definitely did.
Once again, I've underestimated our ability to enjoy Disney conversation, because we did
really make a meal out of it.
We, and it was delicious.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you all for listening and sticking around with us this far in. Sorry again about the lack in episode last week. But it was, we needed a break, you know, five episodes. We were so exhausted after Schmork. Our brains were just mush.
Yeah.
You know, we really needed the break.
And it resulted in myself creating bad audio experience. Schmork really did me
Schmork.
In.
Schmork. Curse you, Schmork. Just kidding. I love Schmork, and I want to ride
I
it someday.
Schmork.
I need it. But thank you all so much for listening. Again, check us out on Instagram at Main Street Mechies. drop those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And do you have any kind words as we say our farewells?
Nah, just have a magical week, everybody, and we'll see you real soon, huh?
Yeah, talk to you, Nate, later.
Oh my, talk to you later.